Welcome to the final episode of this special series of Farmers Inside Track, where we're diving deep into the Autumn 2025 APSA AgriTrends Report. In today's episode, APSA's agricultural economists Marlene Lowe, Kensani Mashimbi and Zama Sangweni join Ivor Price to explore the growing importance of carbon in agriculture. We'll look at why carbon is now a top priority for the sector, how producers can measure their carbon footprint, and what lies ahead for sustainability efforts in farming.
So as the world moves towards more sustainable practices, the focus on carbon and its impact on agriculture is growing. And this is also emphasized in the latest edition of APSA AgriTrends, the Autumn 2025 report just released. And we'll now be taking a closer look at why carbon matters and what it means for the future of farming. Carbon has also become quite a controversial topic for the agricultural sector around the globe. And maybe we should start with the Green Deal and sustainability setbacks, Marlene. We've heard recent comments like the Green Deal is dead. It's over. Dis dood gebore. We've seen President Donald Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Agreement. How do you see these events impacting the sustainability agenda?
Yeah, so I think, Ivor, what we should keep in mind is that this is a point in time, and it could look vastly different month or two or three. I think out of the EU, what we've seen is the release of the omnibus package, which speaks to the Green Deal, specifically around the compliance costs related to adhering to the legislation in the Green Deal. And there's a very definite realization that these regulations are affecting the competitiveness of the European Union, and that their key trading partners are, to a large extent, experiencing it as a barrier to trade. So the movement there is definitely not away from sustainability. I think that agenda is sound and intact. But removing some of the compliance hurdles around that. And I think for us, that is very encouraging. It is a concern when we think about South African agriculture. There's a lot of big agricultural producers that are able to position themselves to adhere to these market access principles. But then at the smaller end of the spectrum, or if you think about something like grains and livestock, where you typically have a producer that is the financial manager, the farmer, the human resource manager, everything into one, it becomes very onerous to adhere to these policies. So I think a general trend globally of an easing in these compliance frameworks is good news for the industry. So in short, that was a very long answer. I won't say the Green Deal stayed. The fundamental issues are still at play. We're still seeing a significant climate variability. Each one needs to play their part to mitigate that. I think that's where the whole carbon agenda comes in. A slight change in direction, which we perceive as good, is how we contextualize what is busy happening, and not necessarily that it's a total 180 in terms of where we've come from in terms of sustainability.
So despite the pronouncements we're hearing from the United States about climate, the Green Deal, the Paris Agreement, you're saying there isn't a shift away from green policies, certainly not in South Africa.
Look, I think South Africa is not as advanced as Europe or even the US in this regard. And so we've seen the climate change bill coming into effect last year and these policies definitely gaining momentum. But we still have a long way to travel in terms of where some of our big trading partners are. So there, the easing of some of these regulations just makes interaction, facilitates interaction, let me say that, or facilitates trade. And then I think it also makes it easier to kind of create the focus areas where the pain points are in your certain country or industry or subsector. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, in agriculture, water in South Africa, being a water scarce country, is a major pain point. So let's channel our resources, measurements, efforts all into conserving that resource to sustain production, sustain jobs, grow the economy. It shouldn't be part of a specific framework, but you should be able to focus energy and resources towards certain main issues.
That's a great point, because I was going to ask you, how can agriculture stay focused on sustainability despite all these challenges?
I love that question because I have a great answer to it. So I think the way we perceive agri is it's inherently a sustainability play. You want to farm so that your son can take over and his son can take over. So essentially you form to be able to make it a legacy industry. And so what we've been missing in some of these cases is that there is an inherent sustainability play, but we can't necessarily monetize it because the measurement frameworks or compliance issues around it might not be in place. I think the retraction from some of the compliance legislation in the EU now allows us to really identify where are the issues, where there's opportunities, where can we give producers the benefit of sustainable practices, and how do we do it? How do we prioritize? How do we customize it to a South African context instead of leveraging on EU supermarket standards, the Green Deal, etc., but really manage it in a way that manage and monitor it in a way that makes sense for an African context.
Carbon, of course, has become such a central focus in agriculture today, controversial. What are the main drivers behind this shift?
So I think if you go into the nuts and bolts of climate change, greenhouse gas emissions is at the heart of it, right? So carbon emissions or carbon equivalent emissions. And so when you're talking about mitigation strategies, it all centers around how are you going to reduce your emissions? And I think sometimes we miss the link between carbon and what we're experiencing in terms of climate variability. But scientifically, it has been proven that global warming is due to more carbon in the atmosphere. And so each one of us needs to play our part to reduce that or offset that or remove that. And that is why it's a key measurement that's also by far the most mature in terms of the ESG matrix that we can monitor and report on.
So many carbon-related policies at the moment. How does that impact farmers, Madeleine?
Yeah, so in some industries, we are seeing carbon reporting a requirement as a market access requirement, rather. So if you are supplying to certain supermarkets or into certain food manufacturing supply chains, then you need to be able to show what your carbon emissions are. So that's the first impact. And then that is predominantly affecting our high value export crops. What we are seeing in the future is that there could be a way in which your access to issues such as insurance and capital are affected by your emissions factor, or if you measure your emissions factor. So although that is not in play at the moment, eventually as these systems and measurement frameworks mature, it could be something that's incorporated in your risk grading, for instance. Definitely it's worthwhile to familiarize yourself with the carbon landscape, the opportunities that it brings, and the risks that it presents. There's always obviously a discussion around carbon credits, because I think that's something that producers perceive as an attractive revenue stream. So they can they can monetize some of the carbon removals of their product that they get as a result of their production process. What we found is that that is a relatively high hurdle to overcome. It's underpinned by a lot of physical tests, like soil samples, etc., that comes with certain audits. Mm-hmm. So again, almost your compliance issue, not making the effort worthwhile in terms of what you eventually get in your pocket for a carbon credit.
Mm-hmm.
But that is also evolving quickly. So mm-hmm. so worthwhile to get your teeth into the carbon landscape.
Kinzie, can you tell us about your collaboration with Blue North? I know Marlene briefly touched on it earlier, strategic partnerships for sustainability. How do strategic partnerships like the Blue North initiative help with sustainability goals?
So it's one thing for UPSA recognizing its role and signing up to be part of those financiers that recognize the importance of understanding who we are financing and their contribution. It needs proactive action. We need action, but we are economists at the end of the day. And one thing that UPSA does very well is establish partners with leaders within the industry. So we partner with Blue North, who are a consulting firm that specializes in sustainability and technology. And they are able to help companies or businesses implement comprehensive strategies when it comes to sustainability. And they have good capability through their carbon emissions calculator tool that is able to incorporate producer-specific practices, and it's able to measure producer-specific footprint, carbon footprint. So the long and the short there is that it's a scientific undertaking that needs to happen. It's complex, but it serves as a basis to understand, as Marianne said, where that difference can be made and how a point of departure and where improvements can be made. So that strategic relationship not only enhances our capabilities to monitor this the evolving trends there, but it also provides advisory services for ESG measuring.
What do you look for in partners when you're pursuing sustainability initiatives? Marlene?
Yeah, that's a difficult question. I think we are looking for trailblazers in the industry. So I think that's where the Blue North collaboration was a very sound partnership. They are already entrenched in the agricultural sector, specifically in the fruit exporting sector. And so leveraging on that expertise to kind of extend that to the rest of our book was really helpful to us. So we've initiated a proof of concept or a pilot project with them where we consider 30 producers across the agricultural spectrum, so including fruits, but also livestock and grains, to really take producers, those 30 producers, on a journey in terms of carbon measurements. And I think where we eventually want to end up is there any inherent value for the financier and for the client to measure carbon? And if there is, how do we scale this?
I find it fascinating how APSA's AgriTrends has become a North Star for the agricultural sector. Maybe in closing, I want to ask you, why do you do it? Is it to spark conversations? Is it to give direction? Or why do you do it?
Yeah, so our intent with this document is really to get conversations going. I'm always weary, and we say this with every launch, this is not a crystal ball. Mm. This is what we are seeing in the industry and what we would like to share. And if you have a different view, kindly engage. We'll be glad to take that view into account. Ultimately, the more information that is shared, the deeper the conversations that's amongst the different stakeholders, that is to the benefit of the industry. So essentially what we want to do is to get a conversation started to eventually entrench sound long-term relationships within the industry that can take the industry forward.
And sometimes you get it wrong?
100%. I think we've highlighted our livestock our livestock example. Not to name industries, but we've had a hiding or two in the past. But I mean, that is the objective, is to engage stakeholders and eventually to be able to make better decisions as a result of those engagements.
The autumn 2025 edition of APSA's Agri Trends Report, now available for download. Thank you, ladies. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on our deep dive into carbon and sustainability. Thanks to APSA's Marlene Lowe, Kensani Mashimbi, Zama Sangweni, and Ivor Price for this insightful conversation. Don't forget to download the full APSA AgriTrends Autumn 2025 report for free at foodformzanzi.co.za/AgriTrends. Keep listening for more in-depth analysis of the trends shaping the future of agriculture.